Level Up Latina partners with working women and mamas alike to guide them in achieving fulfilling career and life goals through financial empowerment, professional or leadership coaching, and personal wellness. Find the unique coaching you need to succeed.
You're listening to Vettel, Ceci, and Irene, and we are Level Up Latina.
Welcome, welcome to episode 61 of the Level Up Latina podcast. Today, we are going to do part two of our Momager series. This time, we're going to be talking about what are the ways that somehow we get creative, and I'll speak for myself. I never thought as myself as a creative person. Before becoming a mom, I would always say, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to my sister, or I'm going to go to Ada, because those women are creative when it comes to parenting. Pero poco a poco, I think, de la nada me ha salido lo creative. And I think Irene actually pointed this out recently, like, hey, we should do an episode, or we should talk about creative parenting, when you saw one of my posts of one of the activities with the girls. And I was like, oh, I guess that was creative. So anyway, long story short, that's why we decided that today we're going to be talking about what are some of the ways that we find ourselves being challenged parenting at home, and how are we getting creative these days, especially with, again, this pandemic, stay at home. What are we doing?
It's creative outside of the chancla, right? Once we've already surpassed that. Your kids aren't afraid of you anymore. They're not intimidated by you. They're just like, challenge accepted, mom.
All of us have our ways of coming up with making things work. Like, originally when I thought creative, I thought crafty and you artistic, and you come up with these really great ways to do holidays. And I don't think I've ever been that, but I love seeing that in other moms. But then I was sitting more and thinking about, well, what's my own parenting style and how have I gotten creative in that style? So, pero la chancla could be very much
part of it. It allows for your kids to be creative and cómo se van a esconder, cómo van a correr, how they're going to avoid
being hit by the chancla. Eso sí, I thought the same way, Irene, because I was like, I don't know how to draw. I don't know how to get crafty. I was thinking Ara, because Ara's so good with themes. And I remember like the invitations to her kids' parties are so creative, and like they go with the theme so well. Like she goes, remember the party that we went to? It was an airline theme and all out.
Santiago Airlines. Yes. It was the cutest.
So
our invitation was like the ticket to the our boarding pass. Oh gosh, it was too cute.
Oh, that woman. But yeah, like Irene said, cada quien tenemos nuestro modo, whatever works for us. And I think it's pretty cool that all three of us have like kids kind of like at different stages. So we have our own ways to just making it work. So how about we start with Irene that has older kids. So what are some of the things that you do with your kids?
Funny enough, I'm not creative, but my husband is. So I tend to say, this is my vision. Can you help me with my vision? And like our friend Ada, who I love that she's going to get a lot of shout outs and kudos. When birthday parties came around, I often found that I wasn't really into the creative part of it. Like I didn't have that muscle, so to speak, but I often would just share it with Diego, like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Do you think we could do that? And then he's the visionary. So one of my creative tactics is to actually go to someone who is artistic and has the vision for these types of things. And so some of the things that we've done recently to be creative with the quarantine is we wanted to do an obstacle course in the backyard, and that was perfect. I borrowed a bunch of stuff from the office where we work with teenagers. We brought everything home, and then Diego just started to build the obstacle course, and it just got better and better and better. And before I knew it, the kids themselves now, when people come over, they pull out the rope, they pull out the cones, they pull out the big life-size bowling pins that we have, and they're being creative with their friends because they're older. We just have to be the leaders of that, and then they can move forward and do it. So that's kind of what's worked for me. I honestly, you guys, I look it up online, I'm on Pinterest, I'm on Amazon, and then I give it to them. But I can, like when they were younger, I had to kind of work with Diego and do things that I thought were fun for them to entertain them. One of the most fun things we've done recently that I think has really made the kids happy is that my oldest was like, you know, my room's kind of boring, I want to make my room better. And I went to Pinterest, I went to Amazon, I started looking up cool rooms because my brain doesn't go there. Like I don't have this great idea for his bedroom. And then I start texting my kid, super sign of the times, he's in the other room, but I'm texting him. I text him like these skateboards that I saw on someone's wall as a bookshelf. He loved it. He thought it was super creative. He's like, I want to do that. And of course he turned to his dad. So he's watching me, and you know, he went to his dad and he's like, how would I make this? What do I need? Diego tells him what he needs. I take him shopping. Like we just have this rhythm. So when we went shopping randomly, we went shopping for other things. We're at the 99 store. They had these awesome looking skateboards, real skateboards with like Batman logos for $5.99 each. I love that now the 99-cent store has slightly better things than just 99 cents. And he's like, this is perfect. It's in my budget. I'm going to hook these up. And I'm like, just put them up. Batman skateboards are cool. He's like, no, mom, it's not cool. He paints them. He prints stencils, super like his dad. His dad helps him sort of cut these stencils. He's working with the mask, the COVID mask. He's got spray paint. Everything's black and cool. And got like different shoe brands because that's what he's into right now. And he got these LED lights for his room. They were too short. I felt they were too short. He was really trying to work with dad to get him up. And then my side, maybe not creative, but my total way of being, I was like, son, this isn't right. You're going to have to wait. Let's get you longer ones. I see your vision, but you're going to sell yourself short. And he was super sad. It's a hard thing for almost 14-year-old to wait. Like the vision is there. But I've done that. I've had to tell other people my vision. And if we half-ass it, neither one of us is going to be happy. I have a funny Ara story about that. Sure enough, I returned him. I took him to Kohl's. So I'm like a creativity facilitator. I'm a creativity middleman. Like I will be the one that'll take you to run the errands. I will take you back to the store. I'm online looking for something longer. Sure enough, he got longer LED lights. The whole room is wrapped in really cool lights. He custom made these shelves out of skateboards. He has his shoes on them. He wants to do pictures next. He did it all, guys, all on his own. A little bit of help from mom, a little bit of help from dad. But I think it's really great because he's a good sort of in between. But the random off the topic, not really off the topic, Ara story, is that for our launch party in San Francisco, maybe they'll remember that, or Ceci, she kept writing the word level of Latina on this chalkboard and she just wasn't happy with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's great. I love it. I think it's great. And she's like, I'm not happy with it. And I love that because it's like, she knows her vision. She's creative. I'm over here settling for letters that to me looked fantastic. To her, looked off center, too small, not ready. That's her brain, right?
So I really like that about her because that's her brain. That's how she thinks. We all think differently. And it's like, go where the creatives are. So I have this vision for it and she facilitates the vision. And then she did it to her standard. And what was really cool is at the end of the day, she did something completely different, which I liked. She knew that she didn't like it and she did it completely different. And I kind of like that for my kids, which is my point. Give it to them, help them think about it. But I want them to be the ones that ultimately do it. My daughter decorated her room too, and I facilitated. But if it's their idea, then I think they take more ownership, more pride. And that's sort of my way of being creative, that I don't want to do it for them. I want them to do it for themselves and to be their natural selves. And they're all going to be different. Some of them will lean artistic. Some of them will lean not artistic and they're bookworms maybe, or they're introverts or extroverts. And so my creative style is just to develop them, figure out what they like, and then make them do it, because only through them doing it do they really realize if it's something they like or enjoy or want to be. But that's just one example of recently with the teenager and the preteen, of trying to go where they are, to have their own personality, have their own life even. That's how it's working in my house with COVID, trying to get them to be excited about their space, about the time at home, about using the backyard for an obstacle course or the garage to do a project for your room. Like right now, it's just been a matter of how to fill the time. If it's family walks, if it's, I want to get a bike because kids have been biking and they've been scootering. So again, I don't have these really insightful creative things, but trying to stay away from just being on electronics all day, which is the opposite of creativity. And that's how we're surviving with older kids.
What I'm taking from it, Irene, is that you're definitely feeding and nurturing and catering to their inner child still by allowing them to think freely and think and let that creativity flow through them. Like, what do you see? You know how you say you have a vision and you go with your vision to someone else to assist you in bringing it to life. So in a sense, you are creative. You're creating that vision. So you have it. You're just maybe not handsy. You're not handsy in the sense of being creating, but maybe handsy in another way.
But, hands-on.
Yeah. So you're more hands-on in the case of, here's my vision, assist me in creating it because I probably don't have all the tools for it. So what you're doing is allowing your kids to create the vision and then moving forward to them doing it. So you're feeding into that inner child so it doesn't die out. I think with adults, that's what happens to us. It's slowly, you know, our life just gets so boring. It's so repetitive and all this. So that's why it's so important to feed our inner child. And I think it brings us to life with our kids now. Because before we didn't have, you know, we're being adults going about our day-to-day lives. We're not thinking of ways to get creative. We find ways to go out and challenge ourselves, like our hiking, our running, let's go traveling. And we feed these little curiosities, but it's not in the sense of, you know, you don't think of it as feeding that inner child, but it is. Now that I have my kids, Otto and I were talking about this, I consistently find myself saying, no, I think I told you girls about this. No, no, no. And it's like, Galilea's going to think her name is no. And so is Joaquin. And Arj is going to pick up, like, our names are on no-no because my mom keeps saying no-no. But what allows us to guide them is to allow ourselves to get in touch with that inner child, allowing that creativity to flow, getting rid of the no's and allowing for more yeses. And that pushes them towards that. I know for me in creative parenting, it's been, I'm new to the game. It's one of those things where now I'm working on little things to allow myself to be more of a yes mom with them. They're going to make a mess regardless. They're trying to figure things out. Things get old, even though it's a new toy. The new toy gets old. They prefer the box, little things like that. But right now what I'm trying to do is just get creative in ways to just keep them entertained because they're so little too. Se aburren super rápido. So I would love to be able to say, let's go buy you a couple of things to get be hands-on and learn how to make a project or do a project. But right now I can't even keep them from eating the Play-Doh. So it's all these things that it's a little more challenging in that sense, but you try to get creative so that they're not bored. For me, it's like the Play-Doh, the slime. The slime got all over our carpet and forget it. ¿Para qué me voy a enojar? Ya me cansé de enojarme. And one of those things is because we were used to escaping to the street. Let's go to the park. Let's go to swim class. Let's go to your tía's house. Let's go to my friend's house. Let's go do this. Allowing mom to have an outlet and be able to get out as well. And that would allow them to get into different environments. But now it's home. So just imagine them thinking, oh, home's a prison. Everything I try to do is a no. I'm not allowed to do these things. So I just let them do what they have to do. If I have, I stop cleaning the toys, picking up the toys 3 times a day, it happens once a day.
Right.
It used
right.
to drive me nuts. And now I just have to live with it. Yeah. I am now outnumbered by my 3 kids. I am outnumbered. And my husband and I are outnumbered. We cannot just consistently fight it. So we just have to let them do their thing.
And survive.
When we step, yeah, and survive. And like, and if it means, you know, we step on a Lego, well, they will. Sí, duele un chingo.
Oh
they
my God. Yeah.
And when they step on one and they see it hurts, guess what happens? They pick it up. I told you so. Pero no les digo. They figure it out on their own, like, owie. You know, then ya agarra la onda. Maybe I shouldn't leave it there. So they put it aside. But I'm just like, you know, I constantly want to fight it, but I can't. I don't want to kill their little inner child so soon. And it influences them. Like there's times where I see Gali just holding back on things. And I'm like, no girl, go for it. Tú dale. Tú no te preocupes por mamá. Mamá no se va a enojar. And she's like, are you sure? Because you were mad last time. And it's those things that we just have to allow for that creativity in them to flow. And as parents and as adults, we kind of have to remind ourselves to bring back that inner child and get in tune with that to allow that creativity to flow within us, to allow it to flow with our kids. If we don't have children with our nieces, nephews, our friends, kids, whatever it is, but we have it. And some of us, aunque digamos que no somos creative, it takes us a little bit longer, right? It just, for me, I didn't think I had a creative side. And then I started planning Galilea's birthday parties and Joaquin's birthday parties. And I'm like, where am I getting this from? And it's like this little joy that you find inside of you. I'm like, it is a little inner me. I knew I had it. It just takes me a little longer. I've been having to think like an adult for a lot longer. But you just let go and think of the idea of fun. Think of the idea of it is not just for me. It's being a little bit selfless that allows it to flow. And you're like, this is cool. I like this. It's a lot of those things for me. The creativity flows in different ways, but it's reminding us to just keep that inner child alive.
I like that a lot. That's right. I remember seeing like the invites to Gali's parties. No me ha tocado ir. Last year I was in Mexico y todo eso. Pero yeah, I'm like, mira, Vero, like I, you know, just you and Otto dressing up. That's so cool. So yeah, you had it in you, Vero.
Yeah.
Yes. I was going to ask you something, Vero. You guys have a pretty big backyard. Are you guys spending much time in the back right now?
We are killing it in the backyard. I want to get them a little blow up pool, but we have the old school, just plastic, hard plastic ones.
Yeah.
That they use because they step in and out of it. We have a lot, we have grass. So they get grass on their feet and it goes in the water. So I don't fill it up to the top, but they listen, encanta mojarse. And I have a little shower, not a shower head, like little adjusted heads that you put onto the mangueras, to the hose. There's a mist option. So I turn it to that. And when it's really hot, I just hang the hose with the mist setting over the little pool and they run around loving it. So we do that. They love the trampoline. Joaquincito is building nice little calves on his legs because of that trampoline. They're loving it. The swing set, it has a slide. They're just tearing it up. They go back there and then they pick apples. We have an apple tree. We have a lemon tree. We have guayaba. So we have a bunch of fruit trees and they'll go out, pick an apple and eat it. We have peaches. We have some white peaches and the other peaches as well. They'll go pick their fruit. It's la lava and it's a little pool and they'll eat it. And they just have a blast. They love it. They love being back there and they're getting fresh air. The only thing is that our backyard gets really hot because the sun just hits your house the whole time. So the house gets really, really hot. But the backyard is hot. So we do have two pop-up tents, and I do the little mist setting. So yes, we are definitely taking advantage of the backyard. We got very lucky. And on the weekends, we try to head out to the park so that we can all just get out into a bigger playing field and just run around, discover little things, and have a good time outside of the house.
So Lassie, whatever it takes to survive these times, you were mentioning too that your kids with the Play-Doh, you're like, I'm trying to keep them from not eating it. There was a recipe on Pinterest that I remember doing with the girls when they were much younger that used, it was Jell-O, mm-hmm. like the Jell-O mix and food coloring. So you should check it out. Sí, cuando un día que tengas some Jell-O boxes around.
Always have Jell-O boxes.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. No me acuerdo. I forgot what the other ingredients were, but it was like water, the Jell-O, a third ingredient, and then the food coloring. And it was, you know, they had a blast. And if they ate it, well. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. Also, like you brought back a lot of like painful memories with the Legos. Like it's happened to me, and like the little toys, it's just like, oh, why do they have all these little parts? Samantha, I think in one day she hurt her toes, I think like three times in a row within the hour. And I did the same thing. Ya ves, te dije, put some shoes on. And even pantuflas, like they love being barefoot. Even in the backyard yesterday, they were running. Y descalzas, and I'm like, pónganse zapatos. And I said, I'm like, they're going to like bump their foot on a brick or something, and it's going to be so painful. And there goes the difference between like mom and dad, right? And Luis was like, déjalas, yo las curo. I'm like,
Diego's the same way. Diego's like Vettel, like they're only going to learn unless they go through it, which I think is super cool, because that's the thing about creativity too. Like all the kids are going to adapt to a different kind of parenting style or different needs, and some learn on their own quicker. And that's the importance of creativity. And that was going to be my tip of the day, that you kind of learn your style and what's good for each of your kids. And as Vettel said, you said, all of us said, every kid is going to learn through their own experience and through going through it. So we can't keep them the cleanest. I love that Vettel's like, I can't keep cleaning up after them. We can't keep them without getting hurt. They're going to get hurt. They're going to bump their heads. And mm-hmm. you know, how do they learn something's hot? How do they learn they can't touch it? It's because of fire. You know, there's things they have to go through. So we can't protect them from everything. So moms, the best way to be creative is obviously be safe, but find what works with your child and let them get into things too and let things go. That's the hardest thing, I think, to learn, like having to let go of what is and just letting them experience it. That's why you got, you know, Band-Aids. That's why you have medicine, like Luis said, like so that when they fall off the scooter for the 65th time, get back on the dang scooter. You know, my son was not trying to use the brake. He was not trying to go down hills. He kept wanting to use his foot to be the brake for the scooter, and Diego didn't let him get over, and he kept making him do it. And that's why creativity is important, because also you can stifle it if you just want it your way. You got to learn your way. And then Diego backed away, and then I came in and I try to take over, and I try to teach him too, and my way. Like, we're going to teach them in different ways, but just don't give up. Parents, find a way to get your kids to like something, because then they may very well be athletic, or they may very well love sporting activities or art. But if you're trying to do it for them, if you don't let them bake, you know, they'll never know they're bakers. If you want everything to be clean, and once Ceci said the story about, oh, it can kind of stress you out if they make a mess. I'm totally that mom in the kitchen where I want to keep it clean. And I had to teach myself that let them make a mess, be down with the mess, because that's how they're going to learn to make fresh cookies, because there's going to be flour everywhere. This is coming from a person that wants to just do things with cleanness and control, and I like it a certain way, right? But let them make the mess.
Yes.
Let them make the mess.
With our heads bang.
I know. Right. We all understand that that's like the hardest thing about, but it's creative to give them the opportunity to learn what they like, and don't stifle their creativity because you want to be clean for them and responsible for them and not let them get hurt. Like, that's like the hardest to learn.
I think I'm definitely like OCD. That means like quiero todo, like limpiecito. And so for me, it's always a challenge to let them make a mess, but I'm just, like Vero said, yeah, like I'm not going to be cleaning three times a day. So now what I do is in their room, I let them just make a mess. They dump all the buckets, like todo está tirado most of the day. And just last week, actually, I said, okay, can you guys please clean up? But this is around 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. is their bedtime. And they were playing and they were still playing. And then I said, okay, as soon as you guys are done cleaning up your toys, we're going to go and it's going to be bath time. And right now they love bath time either way, rather than just like a fast shower. But they love it even more right now, because my mom got them these like mermaids, like Barbie mermaids that they get to swim in there and play with. So they're loving that. And so they're loving bath time right now. So I said, okay, as soon as you guys are done, we're going to go and it's going to be bath time. And it was 7:30 and I go into the room, still un desmadre. And I said, okay, you guys are going to clean up, but we're not going to do bath time. I'm going to shower you guys with the shower head. Rápido, va a ser un baño rápido. No, mamá. And I said, well, para que aprendan. Se tardaron mucho en limpiar. So now the consequence is that we're not going to do bath time. You're not going to get to play that additional time because you guys didn't listen. So that was the thing. And so the next day I was like, okay, I'm going to keep on doing that. Like, you only bath time with the mermaids if you guys clean up on time and as soon as I tell you. So that's one thing that I kind of implemented, like, okay, yeah, it's going to be messy all day, but at the end of the day, they're going to pick it up and they're going to learn this way.
They learn that there's consequences if something isn't a certain way. And so they can't just not be part of the team. I think them learning to be part of the team and they know, like, wow, I have to contribute and then I get something good out of the back end. But there's a consequence if I don't contribute, you know, because then you're kind of raising kids that are like spoiled and entitled and they're not going to build their creative side anyway if they never have to do anything because it's all done for them and it's just fun, fun, fun. So good for you to be creative with offering options, offering consequences, learning that.
I'm over here just praying that they don't lose interest in those mermaids.
Oh my god!
I was like, I just really hope they don't lose interest in those mermaids.
Oh so you god! Make I know
mermaids creative AF, girl.
No, hopefully, yeah. And then it's funny because they'll try to say like, oh, but I that wasn't me. I didn't dump those Legos. And I'm like, okay, you guys all played with them, so whatever. I don't care. Las dos a recoger. But it's definitely, I mean, we've talked about this before. They're twins, but they each have their own personalities and one is more independent, the other one, you know, more needy. And it's funny because yesterday we were watching a documentary with grizzly bears. Was it grizzly? Well, some sort of bear or black bear. And the mama bear had two cubs and we were watching it and we kept on saying, oh, look, that's like Samantha and Paula. You guys are twins. They're twins too. And one of the cubs was more clingy, always on the mom. And the other one was independent, out, you know, adventurous. And we kept on saying, look, there's Paula. There's Samantha. Paula and Samantha. Because it was a similar personalities. One of the things that I've learned with teaching them the letters and numbers, it's like once they've learned them, they don't want to keep on practicing and they get so bored. And it's really hard for me to get creative and it's really hard for them to stay focused. They're easily distracted, they're playing, they're fighting. And I get so annoyed because I want them to continue practicing their letters. Now I'm trying to teach them in English and their numbers too. And so the other day in the morning, they're like, oh, we want to wear these skirts and we want to wear our Frida flowers. So I was like, okay, you know what? We're going to have a Frida day. It's going to be Frida theme. And they have this book, Frida and Her Numbers. And so it has colors, it has numbers, and it's bilingual. So it was cool because they said, okay, let's put your Frida crowns, flower crowns on, put on your skirts, bring your little Frida dolls. All four of our girls have that Lisa gifted us. So I said, bring in and we're going to have a Frida day.
That's why we did this episode. Tell us more about the Frida day.
Yeah, this is what started this episode was that Irene said, that's such a cool idea. The Frida Day, they love Frida and they've loved Frida actually for a while. So hopefully it's still, you know, they're still entertained in their dolls and whatnot. But that's what it took. Frida Day, the Frida book, the Frida dolls, Frida theme. And after the Frida Day and they did their numbers and they loved it. I told them, I'm like, let's do ballet folklórico. So I looked up a YouTube video of how to like learn ballet folklórico. But at that point, it was mostly me because Paula was dancing. No, I know.
Just kidding.
This is how you do it. No, but Paula was like dancing. She fell. She busted her lip. So she had, you know, she didn't want to dance anymore. So I said, okay, you know what? Sit down, watch us. Samantha was, she was like, claro que no, mama. And so then I realized they weren't into it because the teacher was dressed all in black and leggings. And when I started playing another video with like, you know, con los vestidos, colorful flowers, that's when they got into it. You know, it wasn't like they didn't want this boring teacher showing them how to dance this like amazing music. With just a plain black outfit. They wanted like the real thing.
Con tacones, colors.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, it's just things that you learn as you're doing it. Anyway, that's my little tip. find something that your kids are really, really into. In this case, it's Frida Kahlo, my girls love. And use it. Use it to your advantage. Use it. Teach them numbers, the letters, colors, whatever it is. Just make it a theme. And that's, again, that's me thinking I wasn't creative. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's my creative side coming out.
No, the photos were perfect. That's why, again, we wanted to have this conversation because you dressed them up so cute. They had their cute dolls. You had the books. Like, they were into it. They look adorable. So when we promote this podcast, we have to have that photo. I don't think it takes a lot to try to find a way to speak to what they're excited about and do it with them. And whether it's play dress up or cook or make a mess together. Making a mess together is fun and creative. And that's easy. Who doesn't like making a mess? Just be down with it, right? So you did a really good job. And then you guys went into the dancing. And then you taught them samba. And then they went to Brazil.
No, no, cierto. There you go. Oh, and now they're professional dancers. Yeah. Samba dancers. No, it's true because you have to just work with what you got, right? So a few months ago, you know how it got really rainy here in LA, Irene? And I bought these rain boots for the kids. And then all of a sudden, it stopped raining. So I'm like, ¿qué voy a hacer con esas santas botas? You know, like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, it's LA. It doesn't rain in Southern California.
And the boots are going to fit when you need them.
And then like, Joaquincito has these cute, chubby, just fat patitas. They're like emotional support feet. That's what we call them. And they're the cutest. I'm like, they're not going to fit him anymore. Pretty soon these little plump little things aren't going to fit in there. So what I started, I decided to start doing it last week. Was just go outside and start watering the grass early in the morning before breakfast, before anything. So we were up anyway. So I'm like, cámbiense, vámonos afuera. So I put their little boots on and I wet the whole, you know, the grass. And I purposely make puddles in little spots. I overwater. Que quede el agua así y ya se ponen a brincar. Oh my God. It's like mud puddles. And they end up with mud through their calzones, through their diaper. I'm just like, ¿dónde? ¿Cómo? Pero, you know, I'm like, okay, it's cool. I am the one who started this, but they love it. They're like, okay, and when we're going into, I'm like, a quitarse las botas. And then Galila's like, okay, mama, botas, okay. And then Joaquin, ooh, you know, he's barely learning how to speak and talk. He's like, botas, you know, like, choose. And they just love it. They have such a good time out there. But I'm like, that's what you have to just find things to do with them. And when we're out there, I'm like, okay, ayúdenme a sacar esto. And they help. And then they go back to their puddle jumping. But it's just, you know, it's in the simple things that as adults, we're like, we've seen this a million times. We've done it a million times. Boring. For them, everything just seems so new. So we just have to kind of remember that and just with the simplest stuff, just go with it.
I think that's so important. And it's funny because every mom on social media has always put the post of like, I have all these toys and here my kid is playing with the Tupperware. Like every kid has been through that. Every kid loves to play in your Tupperware cabinet. You know, that's why you keep your Tupperware down low. Y'all know the drill. I still do it. My kids don't give a shit about that cabinet. But when kids come over that are 1 or 2 years old, they're all up in the cabinet. I'm ready to open it up for them. It's nice and safe and clean. It's so funny the things that entertain them, and why not indulge it? That's the point. I think, Ceci, you got excited. Yeah. You're going to say something about that.
I was going to say that because just as you were saying how like you can have all these toys and they get entertained in like the littlest things, I look out the window. Luis took the girls out in the backyard and they're playing with rocks, like these white rocks. They're just like stacking them one over the other one. And like,
beautiful.
Las tiene. they're super calmaditas. They're just there with dad playing with the rocks.
Yeah.
But isn't it trippy though that sometimes with dad, they're just like, different children. They're like children.
Yeah.
And with mom, se pasan. We're like, hey, take it easy, yo. Like, take a number, please.
I honestly think that's because we are the momagers. This whole episode, this whole series, I think it's because we are the momagers. So they see us in this light of like, at times the dictator, at times the one that has all the answers. Like, dad has answers too, you know. Today before we started this meeting, my friend, I noticed that she posted it. Let's see if this works. And she put a sign on her door that was like, mom's in a meeting, do not disturb. She has high schoolers and college kids at home with her. And I thought, well, let me put a sign up today. Like, the kids always come in. They always knock. Why don't I put a sign up? So my sign at first started with, please be quiet. Mom is in a meeting. Thanks, guys. You know, the management. And then I put, daddy can answer questions too. And then I threw that away. And I thought, don't be snarky. Passive aggressive. I went back to attention family. Mom's in a meeting, trying not to disturb. But it's true, Vero. I think that, and Tessie, whoever said it, like, it's very true that with dad, then they get a different vibe. And in my case with dad, they're super creative and they go and get that outlet filled and they're outside and they're getting dirty. And he loves them getting dirty and messy and making mistakes. And I'm over here sort of like crisis control and safety control. And so they do come to mom when they're hurt. And I am the one that's like, oh, my baby, and let's get you the Neosporin and the Band-Aid. And we're like a team. Or, oh, you're so dirty, let's throw you in the bathtub. I got bubbles, you know, whatever it takes to meet them where they are. Like, I'm clearly the one that's out there shopping and buying things that I think they'll love. Of like sprinkles for the cupcakes, you know, but whatever it may be, work as a team and embrace it. Don't take it personal if they like dad for certain things and mom for other things. I think that's totally normal. And in many ways, let's be honest, mom is the favorite parent anyway.
I hope so. I hope that they still love when they're in their teens, you know?
Yeah.
My kids are going to be teenagers all at the same time.
Oh,
that's a rough thing.
You know, it's going to be Gali turns 3, Joaquin turns 2, Archie's going to be 1, you know, well, next year. He's still 4 months. To think about them, first off, I think about my relationship with my mother and my parents in general. And I loved just hanging out with the boys. My dad, I loved being with my dad. I loved being with my brother. I'd never felt I had that connection, the domesticated connection with my mom and my sister. They had the connection. You know, my sister would cook. My sister cooks deliciously. Se pasa. She cooks even better than my mom. But she learned it from my mom and then she added her own seasoning, you know, and it's like delicious. I can't. I cook and I'm like, los bendigo a todos, espero que les guste, provecho, you know, y que no come, pues se queda con hambre, ya estuvo. But I do remember just preferring being with my dad because my dad would be outside and he would be, you know, feeding the chickens or building something out there. And my brother would be the same, playing sports outside and he'll be with the friends. And me llamaba la atención, that energy and being in the house for me was just not it. Not that I didn't know how to clean, it's just that that relationship that they had, I just didn't have an interest in it. Later on, I learned to, you know, I obviously learned to love the relationship they had. And I wanted to have a relationship with my mother and my sister. But when I was a teenager, completamente rebelde, I was like, ew, you know, I don't like you, mom. I don't like my sister. And it's just being a girl. And I'm like, my dad understands me. My brother understands me. But they didn't. Even though they were women, you know, you would think that, you know, hey, we're teens. I'm going through this, you know, my period and things like that. I still didn't feel like I had a bond with them. I just did not feel it. And I was so anti my mom and my sister. And I hope my kids, Gali especially, right, when they enter their teen years and they're all 15, 14, 13, and they're all little teenagers together, that they still have that appreciation for mom and don't disrespect mom. I mean, they are, you know, I see movies where they're like, fuck you, mom. And I'm like, oh, hell no, I will whoop the F out of my child. But I'm like, that's what we're kind of, you know, there, but I'm like, okay, well, what's causing that relationship? And I don't want to put myself in the position where by the time they're teenagers, they feel that they can just so easily disrespect me like that. Now I'm thinking, I'm like, yes, they're little kids, but how do I lay down the groundwork and that foundation for them to not treat me as their equal, even though I want to be their friend so they can talk to me, but then I am their parent. So they need to respect me. So how do I do that? So this is where I'm going to turn to the Irenes, you know, and be like, yo, how do we do it? And how do we make sure that we have a relationship with them, even through those teenage years where they're not constantly just like, I hate you, mom?
That is such a good question, because I think as you get older, it goes away as they get older, and you too. I'm just telling my son that, like, you get older, I get older. You get away from all the fun, creative ways to give them choices, to play outside, to get dirty, to let it go. And it becomes their own teenager. They're their own person. They have their own thoughts and feelings and emotions, and they react to emotions differently. And as they get older, you have to meet them where they are, I think. And I think with respect, the biggest thing with respect is, it's so easy to want to be their friends, but you have to draw the line in the sand. My husband is very good at this particularly, and I've learned from him that, you know, you are at the end of the day their parent, and you need to be assertive and assert yourself and demand and command respect. One good example is my kids have to say good morning every single morning to both of their parents. You can't just move on with your life or ask me for something. Have you said good morning? When they're done eating, it's like, muchas gracias, buen provecho. It's this habit. They've had it. My husband grew up with it. If someone is here, you look them in the eye, you acknowledge them, you say hello. You don't have to hug them. This is before COVID. We don't enforce hugs, even though we're Latinos and hugs and kisses is how we grew up. We actually don't enforce it. If they naturally learn and grow, they want to hug and kiss their family members, great. It's worked out. They have all of Diego's family, they tend to see more than mine, mostly because of vicinity. They live closer. And they on their own became huggers and kissers of their family. And I thought it was really powerful because they're watching us hug, kiss, acknowledge, and be respectful. But I think it's just critically important to not then be this
dictator that is only seen in that light? That's what Vero's asking, right? Like, how do I then have a balance between they want to talk to me about condoms, periods, girls, life, drugs, vaping, all the things that are happening right now? I'm going to be really honest with you guys that I am in this stage right now that I am surprised often by the child that I have, my oldest, and who he is and how he thinks. I am literally surprised. And then I have to tell myself, I am raising this kid. I am his mom. His dad is his dad. And we are doing this and we don't know we're doing this. But lately, especially during COVID, his personality and who he is and how he thinks. And I'm like, oh my God, he's parenting me sometimes. But he learned this from me. Like, I know he learned it from me. Like, one-on-one dates may not seem creative, but we do a lot of one-on-one dates. I talk about it all the time on the podcast. Isaiah and I go to this place, this Japanese place that we love. We've been going there for years. We went last night, just he and I. We're having our same old date and we like love it. It's under new ownership and we're like, yay, as long as it doesn't go away. And in that date with him, we were talking about how earlier in the day, I was being hard on Sophia because I find that she's now 10 and I'm not down with the plain food thing. When they're little, they eat plain food. I get it. I'm not raising super kids like Ceci. By the way, Ceci is doing incredible when it comes to nutrition and feeds her kids amazing foods. And I should have done that better. I should have been the kind of person that always had a vegetable on their plate. I was the mom that was like, oh, you want it plain? Go for it. You don't want to eat lettuce. You don't want to eat tomato. And now I'm at this place where I don't want to compare my kids. But my son naturally evolved and gravitated towards vegetables and salads and the oldest, right? My middle child is still kind of like, I'll have the plain cheeseburger. I'll have the plain noodles. I'll just eat bread and butter, you know? And so I was giving her kind of a hard time in the morning because I made these delicious huaraches and everybody's getting in the little one, the big one. And I don't want to compare, hurt my daughter's feelings, but everybody but her was enjoying it. And granted, they ate different, but she wanted it stripped down and was clearly not happy in her face. And I'm like, mama, that's it. Like, I'm going to start making you have the salad. I eat salads, mom, which is not true. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to order plain cheeseburgers for you anymore. You know, that's not how we grew up. Eventually, there's 50 menu options for a reason, mija. And things come the way they come because that's how the chef wants them. And another example, you're Mexican. Mommy cooks delicious foods and lots of foods. And honestly, I think you're selling yourself short by not enjoying things the way they come. When you're little, I understand. We don't like onion. We don't like tomato. It has to stop. And I'm going to help you through that. And I was kind of giving her this lecture about, that's it, mama, moving forward. What's on your plate? I don't want to give her a complex. I don't want to make her feel unconfident, like she's not healthy, right? But I want to extend that she's missing out on a whole world. How do you travel? How do you eat at a cafeteria in a college if they don't have that very select thing? Point is, long story to say, my son just chimed in and he's like, mom, I hear you. Don't take it personal. She doesn't like your food. I'm like, oh my God, little 13-year-old is like, it's not about you. We're all different. I know that I was a little different at that point and at that age, and I wanted to try things. I think that Sophia in her time will try things. You're going to see your food is too good for her not to like it. And I'm like, I always have to like hold it together when I'm thinking like, whose kid is this? And he often reminds me with the little ones like, mom, this is the thing about that. Mom, remember this, mom. And I'm shocked, you guys. And he's telling me this and he's my same height. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, who is this 27-year-old telling me, like, don't worry about Sophia.
Slow down, 27.
We're all different. Like, no, I'm like, slow down. Post-college graduation. Wow. No, wow. Because then he goes. You know, when I was in seventh grade, I used to take personal how the eighth graders were. And then I realized it's not about Isaiah. Eighth graders just act like that with seventh graders. And I decided I just won't act like that with seventh graders when I'm an eighth grader. And then you break the cycle. And I'm sitting there like, this kid, I love him. I love him. He's so smart. He's dropping that knowledge since he was a third and fourth grader. And then I said to him, Papa, I know I'm doing the thing where you compare your kids. And I used to bring you here when you were in the fourth grade and we would have sushi together. And so I want her to experience this other world. That's all it is. He's like, I know, mom, I know that you just want her to be healthy and you want her to be a kid that will try salads. And let's just be honest, Sophie doesn't eat salads. He's something like me and Diego talking. And he goes, we'll get there, mom. We'll get there. And, you know, like Dad said, he heard my husband talking about it. We'll make sure there's always, you know, because no one's very good about fruit. The fruit's always in their face and there's always water in their face and I'm trying, but she's just a simple eater. Anyway, she went to bed last night. She hugs me and loves on me. And I said, look, Sophie, if you decide to eat things very simply for the rest of your life, that's okay. You be you, mija. Like I had that opinion earlier. And at the end of the day, you be you. And I hope that you're healthy, make healthy choices. And
You don't have to eat like anybody else. You eat like you. Like, and then I backpedaled. Then this whole day went on and Isaiah kind of assured me that like everybody will come to their own. And then I kind of thought to myself, like, there's people in this world that just eat plainly and that's okay. My whole point is I want her to be healthy and to try things. We always say, at least try things. And she's trying to tell me, Mom, I do try things. I just know I don't like them. I do try, Mom. I don't like most of the things. But it's good. It comes full circle when they're older. If you have one-on-one dates with them, if you talk yourself out of taking things personal, which I'm learning from my 13-year-old, if you carve out that time, you realize like, man, they are growing up so well as long as you are trying to be the best person. They become the best people, Vettel, Ceci, because you are trying to be the best person to your kids and not perfect. And you may yell and you may not be creative and you may not like messes and whatever it is that you are. But at the end of the day, if you're like a God-fearing, loving person that is just doing right by them, they start to be that too. It's really beautiful.
You know, it's so trippy. Like, you just took me to a memory of my childhood. I used to go over my friend's house and she had older siblings that were still in the house. So for me, I you know, I have my sister, my brother that are older than I am. However, my sister got married very young, moved out, and she got married at 18, had her first child by 19. Then my brother moved out when he went away to college and he was 18 at the time. So I was at home with my parents. You know, I didn't have another sibling around or a cousin or anything close by. So my friend had her siblings still living at home, her older siblings, and they knew about ranch dressing, you know? So this is, I learned about ranch dressing maybe sixth or seventh grade, something like that. It was later.
Me too.
Yeah, so it's like sixth and seventh grade, and it wasn't because it was at the burger
Mexicans
place.
Mexicans don't eat ranch, I think, or something.
I think no, that's why.
We don't eat, well, we don't
or
eat
salads. Or salad.
And we don't put dressing, you know, right. We didn't know about that stuff. So she learned about it, and how she would eat it was carrots and dipped in ranch dressing. So I remember going home and asking my mom, Mom, tenemos de ese cosa para las ensaladas. And she's like, ¿qué cosa para ensaladas? Una cremita que se le pone. ¿La hace crema? Le digo, no. And for a long time, she was just curious. One day, my mom used to work at the rectory where the priests lived, their house. So the rectory is there, but then they have the priest's house and she would cook and clean for them. So one day she's like, were you talking about this? I'm like, sí, eso. And my mom's like, oh, well, I'm, you know, she had started making salads for the priest because one of them turned out had high cholesterol and needed to lose weight and no sé qué, diabetes. Anyway, so they were going on a health trip. So my mom's like, let's join along. So now that I know what you're talking about. So I didn't get exposed to salads until my friend kind of mentioned ranch dressing or brought ranch dressing into the mix. And from there, my mom's like, okay, you know, ahora muy bien. So instead of just making enchiladas, frijoles y arroz, my mom would make a salad and she's like, okay, aquí están sus enchiladas, your ranch dressing with your salad. Yeah. But it's something that we didn't know. And I'm just listening to you talk about how the different things you provide, the meals that you make and put on your table, Irene, are so different than the meals that we were provided for when we were young. We didn't know. So now we want to introduce our children. We want them to know there's other ways that are yummy to get all the health benefits you need. And we worry about it, but when we're young, it takes us so long to learn. And we're lucky that we know this and we can teach them. And it just nos desespera de que no agarran la onda, you know?
Yeah, because I think I am putting a lot of healthy stuff often and my kids don't eat it. I hide all the veggies in the lasagna because Sophie loves it. And sometimes she catches it and she's like moving it over. You know, I'm always making sure there's always like a yummy, fresh coleslaw with everything we eat because I think Mexican food goes really well with like a limey coleslaw. Like I'm trying to still be me and raise them to love Mexican food, but I pile on like lettuce on top of the enchilada. Like I'm always trying to sneak it in and she's the only one and it's okay because she can be her. But I'm just suddenly I'm like, oh my God, like am I also enabling her to not eat healthily? So whatever it is, at every stage we go through it, but we just, like you said, Vettel, it may also just be exposure. And sometimes they freaking listen to their friends or their boyfriend or the suegra suddenly. Oh, you're healthy with your pinche suegra. Con ella si te comes un mango, ¿verdad? I just keep envisioning her like having a boyfriend and suddenly she's healthy. I'm going to kill her. Like,
all of a sudden, it's a mango, Mom. It's mango.
She's going to marry a Luis like Ceci and I'm going to be so like vengeful. Like, todos los
años. Yo batallo comer nopales. Y voy a comer nopales a tus cuatro.
I know.
I love them. This could be like part three of the Momager series because this is like eating and the foods that we grew up eating and what our children are eating, definitely. But I will say, Vettel, when you were saying that you were introduced to to ranch much later on. So did I. And let me tell you that the only dressing that I thought existed was Thousand Island, because that's the only thing we ever had at home.
Yeah.
You know, salads. Con la Thousand Island.
Yeah. Burgers. And it was in burgers. So también como you're growing up, you're eating burgers at the burger joint, you know Thousand Islands. It's so true. And eventually ranch. Or I was introduced to a lot of things unhealthfully. Like ranch was with wings or fries. I think that's not what ranch originally was for.
Yo con pizza.
With pizza.
Yeah, pizza. Yeah. But I didn't start having that till college.
Yeah.
Till college, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, no, high school maybe, late in high school. That's when I started having that. Yeah, maybe high school, but it wasn't anything that we knew. So it was,
that's funny.
Before then, it was, you know, comete, mayonesa was not my thing. So it wasn't like, dip your spoon in some mayo.
You know, I have to say, have you guys seen that really awesome video? It's a montage of that little boy. He's Asian and the mom keeps handing him food and he always says, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's the cutest video. Google it. And it's this little toddler and he says, thank you, so cute. And he loves eating and he makes these cute little faces. The mom, the foods she makes him, the foods she hands him. I'm like, this mother is like Ceci, like incredible, just incredible. Like,
oh, I think I have seen that.
And this little boy is just growing up eating delicious meals and she's just creative and I just love it. And we're not asking for people to go out and suddenly learn how to meal prep these creative, delicious flowers that are actually cucumber, and then you sprinkle on wasabi and sesame seeds and with a side of, you know, skewers and blah 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 blah. But it's kind of like I see you. That's what I say, that when we wanted to do this episode, Ceci, you're so creative. The way you serve your girls food and you're making fresh bread and there's veggies on their plate, and not only the freaking nopales, Vero, your kids love mushrooms and they love things that, like, my kids didn't start liking mushrooms until like last summer, I think, for whatever reason, right? And I feel I cook with them a lot, but my point is, don't hide it. I've been hiding food too. They don't know they like it because it's hidden in the food. And Ceci's like, you are eating the kale on your plate that you see. And
they love the kale. But yeah, I think there's so much more to say. And like, perhaps we can do an episode about like what we feed our kids and how we're feeding them and like what's worked and what hasn't worked. And I think it's totally doable. We'll continue the conversation with today. Again, this is part two of our Momager series, creative parenting. We've learned a lot. I think all three of us said how we didn't think we were creative and somehow we got creative as the years went by. Irene, I love the one-on-one dates. I want to do that when my kids get older. The kids' rooms right now, I saw what you posted on your IG stories. That they look so cool, like so amazing. I love Sophie's room, like Paris theme. I love that. And Vero, you talking about like just letting go, like the mess is going to be there and te vas a estresar just to be thinking like, oh, I need to clean. So igual, like, let it go. Como dice la canción, let it go.
La selfa.
Yeah, your girls know about Frozen right now. Your girls love
Frozen. Oh, they love it. Yeah. Everything Frozen. Everything's Frozen. And that could be another theme. So thank you for pointing it out. That could be another theme for future teachings of my girls. But I think with that, we can wrap up. Thank you for joining. Thank you for listening today. If you want to keep the conversation going or want to give us some pointers about what you want to hear in the next Momager series, let us know. Hit us up on Facebook or IG. Our handle is at Level Up Latina. Our email is admin@levelublatina.com. And don't forget to level up.